Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
And if you ask my opinion, what is the greatest hindrance to revival? It is right in this word right here, that word of jealousy.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about jealousy. This message was recorded during a chapel service in 1999. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, jealousy.
I don't have any detailed outline. I'm not going to say I'm going to speak to you from my heart because some hate that. They think it's hypocritical because I have such a deceptive heart. So I won't speak to you from my heart because it's too crooked to be trusted. I'm going to speak from my head today. It's just as mixed up, but at least you're not offended when I say that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When I was a man, a child, I did childish things, but when I became a man, I did what? Put away childish things. It's not conflict of doctrine that normally causes difficulty. It is childishness that causes some deacons' meetings and some staff meetings, some board meetings to become laughers to the eyes of the world. And we need to guard with a vengeance our fellowship. And no matter what the cost, we need to say, oh God, help me to be very guarded in my personal heart that I would not become childish. Whether you're a department head working under someone who is a department head, whether you are working in the classroom, having to submit to those who are in charge of the academic program, or whether you're in the dean's area, having to submit to those who are over the dean's area. These little things come in. Galatians chapter 5. There's a little word, emulations, is one of those relationship sins. And that word emulation is zealous or jealousy. And so I want to talk about, number one, the subtlety of jealousy. As we heard yesterday, self-deceit. There is a subtlety to jealousy because it is often redefined as something else. Envy is the same word. I looked in the Old Testament and New Testament. Envy is that same word. In fact, when you look at envy, the word emulations is the same concept. Back in the book of Proverbs, envy is as rottenness in the bone. Same word, zealous, jealousies. Jealousy is the rage of a man. Same thing. Ask yourself, when is the maddest I've ever seen my husband? Normally, it's related to some comparison or something else that the husband would have felt compared. And jealousy is the rage of a man. And he will stop at nothing to get even. Then we see God's jealousy of us. He has a zeal for us. But I want to talk about the negative connotation of jealousy and how it could affect a ministry that is committed to do God's will. What are some of these symptoms? We've seen the subtlety. None of us would admit that there's envy or jealousy because we would define it as something else. So what are some symptoms of this deadly disease? Well, one, I think, symptom is the symptom of competition. What would be the reason to compete in a ministry? I mean, stop to think. It's God's work. It's God's doing. It's God's way. What would cause us to want to have a spirit of competition? But yet, even a dinky, tiny ministry, there still is that tendency in my heart, and the tendency in our hearts, to have a competitive spirit, even though there is nothing about which we can compete. That's all God's cause. Yet I think some of the grieving things that I've had and some of us have had in attempts to be peacemakers and some of the stupidity that is going on in Christendom today. I mean, you stop to think, we're trying to do God's cause. You call another institution to bring a prayer meeting together, to bring about a healing over an issue that's such a stupid thing. I discovered that was a marketing ploy. It was nothing to do with truth, nothing to do with protecting God's cause. I think I can't get into that mentality. Yet you grieve. I wept as I hung up the phone after talking to one individual because the whole name of the game is compete, outdo, outrun. Well, that can never be our mentality. You know, when we come to work every day, you know what we do? We can't be concerned about how many or what. What are we accomplishing in the eyes of the world? Say, God, as unto you today, I am going to do my work as unto you. And that means if I'm working as unto the Lord, the other factors are not going to always be the driving things in our mind. Maybe something will happen that goes against our grain. Say, well, Lord, this is as unto you. I'm not going to make that a big issue. Yet our pride comes in oftentimes and it does become a big issue. When I sense competition, I back out completely. I say, have it. When I sense things getting too intense because somebody has to win, I go to the locker room and I go home. And I think, what is this? Competition, it's not worth. That leads to the next word, which is control. Another symptom of jealousy is one is competition, the other is control. The ultimate question, who is going to control? The Holy Spirit. Should that not be the best answer? Well, I mean, you get big works and little works. And what does the question boil down to? Who's in control? Break it down to your department. Where do the conflicts come? Well, what business did he have making that decision? I thought that was mine to make. Well, did the job get done? Well, yeah, it got done. Was somebody hurt? No. Then what's the problem? I didn't do it, and I'm hurt. Now, if there's a belligerence, if there is a will, if there is an I will not, that is a different matter than somebody inadvertently maybe making a decision and making a choice that has to be made, and it's no reason to have a major shutdown of your facility to find out who blew it to not let me be in control. What's the difference? Well, you have to have a structure, but oftentimes there is within an individual an independent spirit that is a spirit of pride, a spirit of envy, and a spirit of jealousy. And if you ask my opinion, what is the greatest hindrance to revival? It is right in this word right here, that word of jealousy. The envy, the pride that would drive that. And as an institution, we need to be so controlled by the Holy Spirit that when we put a flow chart together, we all work and the authority of that flow chart comes in and the authority makes a decision in that flow chart and then those under that flow chart make and they don't have a, okay, make me. And you know, some people who have certain skills can have a tremendous independent spirit because they say, nobody else knows what I know now and I will do what I'm going to do in my time. I don't care what the authority says. So what are you going to do? Hire somebody else? I can't do it. Now what are you going to do about it? You know who that puts in control? That staff member who has said in his mind, I am in control today, pal, because I know something you don't know. Forget the concept that we are to be laborers together. Go back to your department with three people in your department, one person in your department. That guy stranded on that desert island made a living just killing animals. He lived for 3 years like that. Everybody thought he was dead. Somebody happened on that island on a cruise. Phoned that guy. Three buildings were there. Showed this guy around. This is my home. He said, this is my church. The guy said, what's that over there? I said, that's the church I used to go to. That's all too true, isn't it? I couldn't be in control over there. I didn't like the guy running that over there. So you know what I had to do? I had to start another one. I like this one better for now. But eventually, I'm not going to like me here either. So as you see, I bought more acreage because I have a hunch I'm going to have to start a few more works. You know why? Because deep down inside, we don't like us. Because we don't like what we see in us. The whole concept of control. Ask yourself, what causes difficulty? Normally, somebody has interfered with your agenda. And the jealousy factor comes in because my agenda was touched and my agenda was tapped, and therefore, I'm protecting the flow. No, you're protecting your envy. You're protecting your jealousy. It's not a mistake that the Holy Spirit put emulations in Galatians 5:20 as one of the destructive decay sins. Let's be concerned that God is in control. Say, well, what I'd like to do is start something where I can be, when I feel like I'm losing control of something, then I think I better get involved in something that I can control. If you're a member of a church and you're burdened to preach, plant a work. Snakes don't dig their own holes. They use holes that somebody else dug. The most dangerous person in a church is someone called to preach who is not preaching. Because nothing that pastor does is right. Because that pastor is up preaching. You say, well, I love to preach. Then learn what it is to be faithful. And then say, God, there's a whole community of people over in Zimbabwe that have never heard the truth. Maybe that's what I should do. And you know what? You can be in control. The whole nation of Zimbabwe will let you run your ministry until another missionary shows up. Then guess what happens? Zealous, zeal, zealous. Who's going to be in control now? Competition, control, comparison is another symptom of jealousy. Comparison. Why we need to guard this? God has gifted everyone differently. We say this every year. And God didn't make you like someone else. God made you like you. And best thing you can do is say, God, thank you that I am who I am. Thank you that I am what I am. And what is the reason to compare? So, well, that person is talented. God created that person just like he created you. Before you were ever brought forth from the womb, God knew your members. God knew everything about you. God knew how tall you would be. He knew what your face would be like. He used to know what color your hair would be. When Stephen had tried to get his hair blonder 2 years ago, I said, Stephen, why advertise your insecurity? He said, I'm not insecure. I said, well, why advertise it? He said, you tell these teens. Immature insecurity is a teen who colors his hair. Mature insecurity is an adult who colors the hair. I mean, isn't that true? Why, I don't want anybody to know. Some say, Les, you have aged. So have a lot of others, but you don't know it. One thing about me, nobody gets jealous. That is one thing that Charlene and I have had to be able to, nobody can get jealous of my physique, my hair. Calling me beautiful. But if my security were in my image, I would have to do everything I can so nobody gets a step ahead of me. If somebody lost 2 pounds, I would have to quit eating. Because What am I going to do if that person loses more weight than I do? I lost 40 pounds this year. I'm still the same weight. It's been in 2-pound segments, 8-pound segments, but she's all back. And you know what? Other than my inability to get in and out of bed quickly, it doesn't bother me. But if that were my security, it would bug me because I think my image is affected. But you know what? Comparisons are the basis of a lot of jealousies. Because we get so honed in on some of these things, and yet we'll teach and we'll preach and we'll do this and that and so on, but there's that little gnawing cancer. And that's all it needs is a drip to drain our power. That's all it needs. Whether it's in your little department, your big department, whether it's in this institution, whether it's in a church, wherever that may be, little comparisons that come. Appearance. You can do a few things about appearance. You can do a few things about abilities. You can work on some things. But you know, there are some things that you'll never be good. Now, when you have your head in the middle and you're the one who is learning and so on, so if I compared abilities with your abilities, if I compared that, no, you know what? That's the uniqueness of the body of Christ. Everyone gifted in such a way that one person shines where another person doesn't and vice versa. These guys were laughing about the soccer team carrying the sheetrock. Four guys, what the sheetrockers do is one per double. And our soccer players are going four per double. And some of you who help move sheetrock, and that is a special eternal reward. Because I think it should be illegal that things should be made that heavy that have to be lifted. I don't think it should be permitted. They're saying, ha, these guys. And then I thought to myself later, I said, well, I'd like to see those sheetrockers go play soccer. The sheetrockers would laugh at the soccer players moving, but you talk about something funny, video these sheetrockers playing soccer. You see, if somebody isn't good at what his profession is, he better get out of it. I mean, don't you think? How can I help someone who does something once in a lifetime expect them to do it like somebody who does it every day and hates it? But how foolish we are. And then the fourth symptom is childishness. There is the command of Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, or the exhortation, when I was a child, I did as a child, but when I become a man, I put away childish things. And I think some of the things that are evident in jealousies and envies are childish. Now, she sang. Now, how was I overlooked? I think, well, I could get jealous. I have never been asked to do a reading at an artist series. I don't know why. There must be something wrong with me. Why am I not doing readings? Well, you know why. None of our children have ever been asked to be in a play. You know why? Because everyone fears they're like their dad. What good would they do in a play? Why should we worry about somebody got to sing and I didn't? What is wrong with me? Well, I heard somebody likes. I mean, that person did so and so. And oh, they just raved. You sit home and mull. I'll tell you, when I was not a very good youth pastor, but I knew good preachers. And I knew if I got good preachers in to preach for our youth group, I didn't care if the kids, I'd load buses to go and hear Major Ron Brooks, and the kids loved him. They didn't have to like me for their life to change. But I couldn't resent, say, well, I said that 15 times. And now all of a sudden he's a hero. That's what the ministry is called. You plow and you plant and you plow and you plant and you plow and you plant. Everybody that I've led to the Lord gets saved when Tom Farrell comes. So what am I going to do? Some people are just gifted differently. So, but how quickly childishness can come in. Sports. I dread another football season, even though I like football, because I know the stupidity that comes. I mean, I compare the fights over football teams like Chevy Ford conflict. Can you think of anything more childish? I went through that when I was seventh grade. My brother had a beautiful Mercury, and I was a Ford fan. When I was in eighth grade, he bought a 1950-something brand new Chevy, and guess what I became? I became a Chevy fan par excellence. GM, brother, nothing like GM. And you know what we do on the school grounds in seventh and eighth grade? We'd argue about Chevy and Ford. Well, please don't let that carry on into your 40s and 50s and 60s. It will hurt your ministry. I mean, how foolish can you get about it? They're all junk. Although Paul and I would agree that there are certain that you don't want parked in the garage. One car I had, it gave me a lot of rest because I laid under it many, many hours. The comparisons. Why can't we just say, hey, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? If someone else gets the glory, what's the big deal? Because is it not God's work? And then when you have a spirit of control and competition comparison, sometimes you can imply negativity and implant in another's mind a negative thought about somebody else. Watch, he's a looker. Watch, he's a pervy. Honey, when he's around, watch it. Because the potential threat, it's easier to imply negative and put a question mark rather than have somebody to have a proper image and that character and reputation be hurt. Then the last thing is conflict. What is the fifth symptom that I just jotted these things down. This is no printed outline, detailed outline, just symptoms. That symptom of conflict, and I talked about under competition, only by what? Pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention. Conflicts arise. Study the whole concept of conflicts and look for the symptoms that would be satanic in these things. I was looking through this last year. I discovered something in a scan that people who are problem solvers are those who give in. Abraham and Lot, for example. There was a conflict. And the mature one gave in. Because he knew God was bigger than that circumstance. Said, hey, Lot, you take what you want, I'll take what's left. Because God had promised Abraham with a much higher gaze. David and Saul. David became the problem solver because he was the one who gave in. He was the one who said, I don't have to be in charge. I think Jesus Christ is the ultimate example. Solved an unsolvable problem for us. He gave in. He said, nobody takes my life. I lay my life down. And I noticed a pattern that people who solve the problems are the people who are willing to surrender and say, God is bigger than the circumstance. Well, what's the solution? Brokenness. What Dr. Vaughn covered yesterday morning. Brokenness. Let our will be shattered so that every response is controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Take our departments and say, okay, as we begin our day, let's pray for oneness of heart and oneness of spirit, and let's pray that God's Spirit will work and have His way in us. And then ask forgiveness where you know there is a wall. ask forgiveness. I know I bug certain people, so I make it a practice to stay out of their hair. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine being bugging people, but I know I do. My voice or something, I don't know what it is, but there's something. And so, just stay out of the way. So that you don't, I mean, we don't get up in the morning planning to be a bug to people. And then thirdly, get excited for another's good. Learn to get excited for another's good, even if it's not your children or even if it's not your situation or your family. Then fourthly, get under authority. Be in the place where God put us. Under authority. And saying, God, thank you for putting me in this protected place. And then what Dr. Vaughn mentioned is maintain corporate cleanness. And I think personal holiness and personal purity, that pure inner man will be the thing that will give us the Holy Spirit's enabling to do the very things that we want to do for the glory of God with a freedom in our spirit. Then you know what we'll do? We'll rejoice at the abilities that God has given each person to make a ministry happen, to make a ministry function. And then you learn to rejoice that God has gifted that person in that way, and God has gifted that person in that way. And then we can say, and they had continued steadfastly in doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. But if you leave out any of those four, you have a stumbling ministry, not a prospering ministry. But the little cancer of zeal, zealous, envy, jealousy can become very, very destructive. Because a battle of wills will ensue, and it will hurt deeply.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala, speaking on jealousy. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.